Welcome back to the daily OU Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Yom Shlishi, the fourth day of the month of Tishrei. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. Please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of DOU, it is my distinct honor to introduce Rabbi Avigdor Slatus, Morat Asura of Congregation B'nai B'rith Jacob in Savannah, Georgia, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Slatus slowly reciting our daily four chapters of Tehillim, Parak Chaf, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 20, 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishaverach L'Cholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Slatus to learn more about his wonderful community in Savannah. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, the Chavod, with great honor, Rabbi Slatus.
Thank you very much, and Shalom Aleichem to all who are listening. It's a great honor and privilege to be able to speak with you. On Yom Kippur, by Kol Nidre, after we say Kol Nidre, the congregation says together in unison in a loud voice, Vayoyma Hashem Solachti Kidvarecha. Hashem said, I have forgiven them as you have spoken. This is referring to the incident of the Meraglim, the spies who came back with a very discouraging report, and many of Klal Yisrael as of that moment wanted to return to Egypt as opposed to entering the promised land. As a result, we know that Klal Yisrael wandered for another 39 years until that generation perished and then finally entered Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, upon learning of the wrath of Hashem that had been released, in which God said he was going to destroy Klal Yisrael, Moshe implored Hashem, and he asked that God would accept our repentance, and Hashem said, Solachti kidvarecha. And that is how we begin our Yom Kippur. As a matter of fact, after that we say the Bracha Shechiyanu. We are already invoking God's forgiveness before we have sanctified the day of Yom Kippur with the Bracha of Shechiyanu. I find that to be very strange. In addition, why is it that we are mentioning how God accepted Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs, his prayers, after the sin of the spies? Why not God accepting Moshe Rabbeinu's prayers after the sin of the golden calf? And another thing that disturbs me is that at the very beginning of Yom Kippur, we're already announcing Solachti Kidvarecha, God is forgiving us as Moshe has spoken. That is the goal that we wish to achieve on Yom Kippur. We're trying to achieve Slicha, Mechila, Kapara, forgiveness, pardon, atonement. Imagine someone who's beginning a course in medical school, and before he has taken his first notes, he already says, I want the degree MD. Wait a minute, you have to earn it. How did we earn it? We're already saying Solachti Kidvarecha. The Slonim Rebbe has a very beautiful insight in which he says that Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that he heard from Hashem not just there would be consequences for the incident of the spies, but that Hashem was disowning us, casting us away. And that was so troubling to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what he davened for. Hashem, whatever consequences and discipline shall result, we accept it. But don't cast us away. Don't disown us. We're your children. A father, a mother never disowns their child, no matter what they've done. And therefore Hashem said, Solachti, I have forgiven them. I accept Kidvarecha as you have spoken. I will not cast them aside. And that's what we're doing before we even begin Yom Kippur. We're not saying that we've achieved forgiveness, but rather this is our mission statement. How do we have the audacity, the chutzpah, to stand before God and say, Almighty God, forgive us and let there be atonement and everything. And we all know, honestly, we've made so many mistakes. We've spoken so much Lashon Hara. We have transgressed so many times. And we stand before God and pour out our hearts in prayer and we'd say, Salach lanu, forgive us, machal lanu, pardon us, kapel lanu, atone. How do we have the audacity to say this? The answer is because, Hashem, you said that we are your children and you will never disown us. And this is what Dovid HaMelech says, Al tashlicheni, God, don't cast me away. And I just want to conclude with a very beautiful thought. Rav Chaim Volozhin was disturbed, and in the Tana Devei Eliyahu it says that God is Sameach Bechelkei. God rejoices in his portion. Rav Chaim asked, Hashem has a portion? A human being has a portion. Hashem doesn't have a portion. Lashem Haratzim Aleya, unto God is the entire universe and everything that fills it. Hashem is the master and in control of everything. What does it mean he has a portion? And the Vilna Gaon said in this week's Parshav Hazinu, it says, Ki chelek Hashem amai. The portion of God is his nation Israel. And that's what the Tana Devei Eliyahu is teaching us. God rejoices in his portion of Klal Yisrael. And the Vilna Gaon says, even when we are filled with sin from head to toe, even when we are filled and contaminated with corruption and impurity, God rejoices because he knows our essence and he knows that we are spiritually desiring to fulfill the will of our Creator, but it is our Yetzer Hara and it is the exile that overwhelms us and sometimes leads us astray. So yes, we as Jews join together on Yom Kippur and before we even sanctify the day with Shechiyanu, Vayoyimah Hashem, Salachti Kidvarecha, I have forgiven them. I will never cast them away. I will never disown them. I will never disinherit them. They are my children, and I will always accept their prayers, and I desire to forgive them. Let's begin with our Tehillim. We'll start with chapter 20. Lam natzeach mizmor l'David Ya'ancho adinoi miyim tzora Yisagev choshem Elohe Yaakov Yishlach ezrecho mikoydesh U'mitziyoin yisodeko Yizko kol min choysecho V'yoylascho yidash neselom Yikein lecho chilvovecho V'cholat soscho yimalei. The ran and nabishua secho, v'shem eloheinu nidgoyom. Yimalei adenoi komish aloi secho. Ato yodati ki hoishia adenoi mishichoi. Anehu mishmei kodshoi. Bigvurais yesha yiminoi. Eile v'rechev v'yele basusim. Ma'anachnu b'shem Adonai Eloheinu nazkirim. Heimo ka'u v'nofalu, v'anachnu kamnu v'anis oidod. Adonai hoishiyom, ha'melech yaneinu v'yoyim kareinu. Chof Yimel, Psalm 23. Mizmor l'David, Adonai ro'i lo'i echsor. Binois desha yabitzeni, al meimenu chois yinachaleni. Nafshi yishayvev, yancheni v'magle tzedek l'ma'an shemayim. Gam ki eilech begeit salmodes loy irorom, ki ato yimodi shivtocho umishantecho, heimo yinachamunim. Tareich lefonai shulchon neged seiroroim. Dishanta Bashemen Raishi Kaisi Ravoyam Ach Toiv Vachesed Yudufuni Kol Yemei Chayoin Vishavti Beveis Adeino Elioi Vech Yomim. Psalm 121, Kuf Chof Aleph. Shilama Alois Esoi Nail Hehorim Meayin Yavai Ezri Ezri Meima Doinoi Oise Shemahim Oret Al Yitain Lamoit Laglacham Al Yanum Shaimrecham Hine Layanum Layishan Shaimer Yisrael Adonai Shemrecham, Adonai Tzulcha al Yad Yeminecham, Yoimam HaShemesh lo Yakekam, V'yareyach Balaylam, Adonai Yishmocha Mikol Ram, Yishmor Es Nafshecham, Adonai Yishmor Tzeisecha Yuvayecham, Me'ata al Yadaylam. Psalm 130, Kuf Lamed. Shir Hamalois, Mimamakim Karasicha Adonai, Adonai Shemavakaili Tihien as Nechakashuvais, Lokal Tachanunai, Imavinois Tishmoya Adonai Nia Amoid, Ki Imcha Haslicha Lamaanti Varei. Kivisi Adonai, kivsa nafshi, v'lidvarei haicholti, nafshi l'Adonai, mishoimim laboikem, shoimim laboikem, yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai achesed, v'chambei imoi fadus, v'hu yifde es Yisrael, mikoyol avonai sov. We'll now do the Mishnah Berach for the Cholim. Mishnah Berach, Avosenu Avraham Yitzchak, the Yaakov, Moshe Aaron, David Shlomo, who Yevorach v'Yerape es HaCholim. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, hanesunim betzora uveshivya, hoimdim bein bayom ubein bayabosha, hamokim yirachem aleim v'yoytziyim, bitzora l'ravocha, umeafela l'oira, umeshibid l'geula, hashto ba'golo v'zman kariv, v'neimar amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Flatus. As we transition into the next segment of our call, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Baruch Hashem, we seem to be doing okay. We've been spared for the most part from this virus. But nevertheless, of course, we're all taking extreme precautions. But we're all doing well. Thank you.
Happy to hear and grateful that your community has, for the most part, really been spared. Tremendous bracha. So to get us started, for those of our listeners who might not be as familiar with your community, and I will note that your shul was the founding NCSY chapter back in 1954. There was an outstanding delegation proudly representing the Savannah community that year to the OU convention. Obviously, this was well before I was born, and I thank Dr. David Lukens for sharing this fantastic tidbit with me. Rabbi Flatus, could you please share with us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general? I had the privilege to visit and spend time with you there, but for some of our listeners who might not be familiar, maybe they haven't made that drive down from the northeast to Florida and had the opportunity to benefit from the incredible hospitality of Savannah along the I-95 corridor. If you could give us a little bit of a background and overview of the community.
Well, the community is extremely unique. As you said, it's a very warm community. The people, they welcome with open arms those who are traveling through Archim. The shul itself, the congregation, I think was established in 1861. And I believe it was in 1960 or 1961 that they moved to our present location, which is the south side of Savannah, and it's a beautiful, lovely area. The cost of living here is extremely attractive. We have wonderful people. I mean, lots of Balei Tshuva, and we have a lovely mix. We have people who are, of course, yeshiva graduates, yeshiva university, other yeshivas, Beis Yaakovs, and then we have people who are on their way, who are first beginning to learn. And it's a very harmonious community, lots of unity. It's beautiful to see on Shabbos people walking back and forth, and the young women with their strollers, and people are going to shiurim and just going to visit. We have one Orthodox shul, which we have close to 400 family units as members. It's the largest synagogue in Savannah. We have a wonderful day school. Starts with preschool, goes through and including the eighth grade. And now we have started the last 2 years. We have a high school for girls. And we're very, very happy. And we hope it'll be something that can really attract people to come. We have a kollel, a small kollel, but outstanding young men who are ma'ur ben abriyas. They really connect with people from all backgrounds. They have wonderful personalities. They give lots of classes. And we have a lovely mix over here, and it's a very, very active community. The synagogue is the focal point of Jewish life, and it's something which we're very, very proud to see how people are. They're so unified, and there's such respect. Respect for those who are observant, respect for those who are not observant. We try to look at each Jew as someone who is precious in the eyes of Hashem, and therefore precious to us also.
Certainly so, and I'll echo and that all that is very, very true, as well as add that your shul sanctuary, I think, is one of the most beautiful sanctuaries, beautiful shul that I've ever been in. The paintings, especially in the front by the Aron Kodesh, are really something that I've never, ever seen anywhere else. Very unique and very, very special, just like the entire community of Savannah is. And the old joke, and I think this is the old joke, but it was shared with me, I think, when we spent some time in Savannah, is that even if you're third or fourth generation in Savannah, you really just arrived. That's how deep rooted the community is, going back, as you shared, for a very, very long time. The world has changed dramatically so much as a result of the pandemic, and we're going to continue to see change, and there's all this talk of going back to the way things was, to a new normal, whatever these terminologies really, really mean. But we know that with challenge comes opportunity. And when we try to think about where we are right now, when we try to think about where we're going, what communal changes do you anticipate for yours and really the broader Jewish community as a result of this experience of COVID-19?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'll tell you that, well, first of all, I've learned how to use Zoom and give classes with Zoom. And a lot of our congregants are now getting involved in the Zoom and, I guess, the FaceTime and whatever. It's not the same as having a shiur in person, there's no question. But nevertheless, there are people who are taking the opportunity to attend classes which they've never done before. I guess being in the comfort of their own homes, they don't have to go out at night, and they're more relaxed, and they can just Zoom and get up when they need to get up, and get a drink when they need to get a drink. But without doubt, I think this has certainly taught us a great lesson. Number one, we really see who's in control and who's in charge. You know, man always thinks that we're the ones in control and in charge, and I think Hashem is showing us that he still has a bit of a role in our lives. And we've also learned to appreciate the social aspect of being able to get together. And the feeling of loneliness, and for some people being just almost quarantined, is really something very difficult. So we've made an effort, a concerted effort, to try to reach out to our members. I make weekly phone calls to different people just to check in, see how they're doing. We've had our kollel and our synagogue has sent out challahs, and we've sent out Shabbos platters. We sent out simone milsa, the simonim, the unique foods you eat the first night of Rosh Hashanah, the apple dipped in honey and everything else. And we're trying to stay in touch with our members, and it's been very well received. And what I've learned is that why limit this to a pandemic? This is such a beautiful way of connecting. Let's continue to do this. Even if people are able to come back to the shul and come back to services, that doesn't mean we shouldn't stay in touch with them and reach out on this constant basis as we've been doing. So these are some of the things that I think we've all learned, and we've all learned to appreciate each other a little bit more.
I think it's very, very accurate. And we've heard a similar sentiment shared by other Ravanim, other rabbis from different communities we've been speaking with. There are a lot of silver linings and a lot of positive takeaways, absolutely. Last question for you. How did things work out this year with Rosh Hashanah, and what are the plans, at least now, for Yom Kippur and for Sukkot?
Well, as you mentioned, we have a very large sanctuary where we daven. We seat over 1,260. Usually on Rosh Hashanah, we get around 600 people. Family members come in, 650, 700. And we went through the entire sanctuary, and we made sure we had proper social distancing, which means that our capacity was limited to around 180. And I must be honest with you, I will tell you that we also tried to go a little bit faster because it's very hard for people to sit with masks on. We insist on people being masked. And it's hard to do that for 5-6 hours. So we tried to move a little bit faster. My drush was 5 minutes instead of 15 minutes, and we try to cut a few things here and there. And I must be honest with you and tell you that over Rosh Hashanah, I was a little despondent. I looked down and said, where is everybody? Rabbeinu Shalom, when we have so many people who are compromised, elderly and others, and they're just not comfortable coming. And when they asked me, I said, look, if you have any hesitation, I'd rather you come for the next 30 years and miss this year. But it was a feeling of, wow, it felt so empty. But I want to share with you something remarkable, and that is we have neighborhoods here within a mile, and I wanted people to hear the shofar. They got to hear shofar. So we had 4 volunteers, and we divided up into various neighborhoods. And at around 2 o'clock, 1:30, after we finished davening, we told people, we sent out emails that we're going to have a shofar blowing at this neighborhood at that time. I walked down around a mile, I went with my wife, and I just couldn't get over it. 59 people who I haven't seen some of them in 6 months. They came out with masks, standing outdoors. We did this in the middle of the street. Somebody said the bracha, called out. I was able to blow shofar. And it was just remarkable to see Yidden Jews. And then not all of them are that observant, but they all came to hear the shofar. They all came for this mitzvah. And then I went across the street to a gated community of an elderly community, and there were another 35 people. They came and they wanted to hear the shofar. And other people told me in the areas that they blew, we must have had 150 people, members and non-members, coming to hear the shofar. And I'll tell you, I got so inspired. I'm going to say this on Yom Kippur to my chevra. I have to tell them, Rabbeinu Shalom, look at your children. They won't go out to the shopping. They won't go here. They won't go there. But they come out in the middle of the street to hear the shofar. I was very inspired.
Truly incredible. What a story. And are the same plans in place for Yom Kippur?
Well, Yom Kippur, I don't know that I'll be able to go during Yom Kippur, but yes, we're going to have Yiska services that people can come together. We're going to distribute. We have Yiska booklets. We'll make sure everybody gets them, and we'll tell people that at this time on Yom Kippur, come together, stand in the street as you did, 8 to 10 feet away from each other, but we'll have somebody who'll lead the Yiska, and if they want to give a drasha, that's good too. But it was just a remarkable scene to witness and to participate and be part of, to see Jews just coming out from the woodwork. They want to fulfill the mitzvah. It's beautiful.
Amazing. Rabbi Flatus, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes of your time today, for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community. As we are with all of Klal Yisrael and of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all those in need will be answered with tova. And may the Rabboni She'olam, the Master of the world, speedily please bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Wednesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for words of inspiration from Rabbi Rabbi Zambosky of Beth Jacob Congregation in Beverly Hills, California. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.